Kevin's a jerk lately. Kevin's a big jerk. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, July 12th, 2018. Holy fuck, we're almost already halfway through this month.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do.
Where does the time go?
I don't know. I still have messages like thank yous. I was like, oh yeah, I need to send that after E3. It's a month later. No, I still haven't done it.
Totally. It's bad.
It's very bad.
I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki doki.
The good news is this gets us closer to video games.
It does.
Because you know, we're always out there looking, oh, September 7th, Spider-Man. Oh, further than that, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. We're getting closer and closer.
Yeah, but I think we need another month, Jaugust, where there aren't any game releases, and we can just catch up on work.
That'd be
like,
awesome.
Can we just do that? Like, bank a bunch of shows, get caught up, maybe take a week off.
No, that's not going to happen for
sure. We can't have Jaugust?
We're banking shows to go do stuff and work harder at other shows. It's crazy.
But you know what? Game over, Greggy.
What's that?
Months are fake.
Petty, comma, Jared.
months are fake.
Months are fake.
We could totally just make one up. What if we all just was like, you know what? We need another month.
Lousy smarch weather.
Yeah, exactly. We just make it up, stick it in there. What would that hurt?
I don't know, probably the planet cycles and the seasons or something.
Well, I don't think it screwed the seasons up. We just screw our calendars up, right?
But then
Y2K?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. The computers wouldn't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
All the banking transactions would fail.
Would that really be a bad thing?
Probably.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I was very much when the financial crisis was happening in our lifetime. You know, I was like, let the banks fail. Fuck the whole system. Let's see what happens.
The financial crisis is still happening, right?
I know, but now we don't pay attention to it.
The Great Recession never ended.
Nah,
that's the secret.
What are you kidding about? Cool Greg's doing great over there.
No.
Cool Greg, give me, what's the word on the street about the Great Recession that's happening? We ain't worried. See, Cool Greg ain't worried.
I'm worried.
You're all worried about nothing. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show right into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, thanks for being part of the show. Remember, if you're live, you have a special job. Keep us honest. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. None of the fucking editorializing you've all been doing. Just the facts. What facts do we screw up? Let us know there so we can set the record straight for everybody later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. This is one of your final reminders of this. Monday, July 16th. That is Monday now. Just the next Monday. The Monday that it will happen. The next Monday you'll ever exist on. That
Moon's
Monday.
Moonsday. Exactly. Before Tuesday or any of those.
Don't
right?
try to change Woden's the days day, now, too. You're making up Sun's months. Day. You can't be making up days now, okay?
Yeah. We could call it perhaps the classical Quaker second day.
Second day I'm fine with.
Second day?
Yeah. All just right. like second breakfast. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. We've had one. Yeah. What about 11-sies? Lunch, tea, dinner, supper?
Oh.
Okay. All this Hobbit
well, meals. Anyways, on Monday, it's Amazon Prime Day. What's happening here is we're not doing Kinda Funny Morning Show or Kinda Funny Games Daily. Instead, we are saving all our energy for a stream noon to 4 p.m. on twitch.tv/AmazonGames and hosted on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We are inundated on the other side of the room with all of the cool Amazon Prime goodies that are going to be going up on Amazon Prime Day for the sale. We'll be using them here and streaming and hanging out and playing games with you and, you know, hanging out.
There are some really nifty stuff hanging around this office.
I saw you using some of it over there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
A lot of things over there that I've wanted for a long time that I'm hoping I get to walk off with at the end of this.
Well, yeah, how does that work? I mean, when all this stuff's around.
I think Kevin's in charge, and I have to make sure that Kevin doesn't hate me.
Okay.
So maybe yelling at Kevin before the show wasn't the best move.
I mean, y'all take very good care of me, but there's a couple of things back there. You just want to be like, Jared, here, you should take this home. You could be like, I'm going to be like, okay.
You should make a little wish list. Maybe
should I make a little
Saint Nick will come over and touch
you
at night. And then we have a sponsor today. It's Brooklyn, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, what the fuck are you up to, Nathan Fillion? Over on Instagram.com/NathanFillion, he posted the following, Jared Petty, an image of Drake, the rapper, the singer. The musician, the actor, Drake from Fortnite, you know.
Yeah, that guy.
Posts a picture of him with a toothpick. And then the caption says, Sic Parvis Magna, 7/16/18.
Okay.
So it's, of course, a picture of Drake.
Yep.
The Latin phrase, greatness from small beginnings, from Uncharted, and then Monday's date. What do you think is going to happen? What are we going to get on Monday?
I don't have a clue. I think that this is the best, most wonderful kind of goofy tease. I'm kind of hoping that it's something teeny tiny, like that it's just him doing something wonderful and private, and then it's kind of taken off.
Yeah.
But it seems to be taking on a life of his own. What if he was just like going to stream Uncharted that day?
Yeah.
And it was his way of doing it. Like, yeah. I think there's like an 80% chance it's that.
So many people are jumping to the conclusion of it's going to be about the Uncharted movie. Maybe he's going to be Sully in the Uncharted movie because, of course, you know, they had Tom Holland sign on to be a young Nathan Drake and all that.
Yeah.
I don't go that far. I don't think they let him tease that if you're Sony or whatever. But again, who knows? What's, of course, fascinating is that next week is Comic-Con.
Yeah.
It's Comic-Con week. It is Hall H. It is, hey, all eyes are on entertainment of pop nerdy culture. I still, what I was saying on the morning show when Nick tried to steal the story from me, what I'm saying is I think it's going to be a 7-minute, 10-minute short where he plays Nathan Drake.
Oh, that'd be cute.
Where he, like, he finally answered the call that everyone has thrown his way of, like, we want you to be Nathan Drake. And he, him and some friends wrote a script and they went off and shot it. And now we're getting a little
Dr. Horrible's Nathan Drake blog.
Exactly.
Like something like that. Yeah. He gets his old Firefly suspenders out, goes out there, drakes it up a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that's what it's going to be. That's what my prediction is. I'm basing that on nothing. I just think that it seems like an independent tease rather than a tease related to Sony Pictures, Uncharted, whatever.
It probably is, but There is a movement inside certain marketing groups in video games where the idea of having a celebrity push something is so sexy for a game marketer.
Oh,
it's like, look who we got.
Yeah.
We got, he has shown a tremendous willingness to play ball with video game marketers before.
So you think this is a video game thing, or this is one of the things you're throwing out there? Because I'm totally leaning into entertainment YouTube. I'm staying away from Naughty Dog.
What I'm saying is I think it's entirely possible this could be related to the movie. I mean, what if he's not cast as Drake, but what if he's cast in a tangential role? What if he's the bad guy? I mean, we're not going to see him as Nathan.
Here's something I want to float
too. We always talk about Sully, but what about using him as
Something I think would be interesting to float too, right? This is, you know, Tom Holland is young Nathan Drake, right? Having a young Nathan Drake doesn't disqualify you from having an old Nathan Drake who's telling these stories to Elena over a beer or something, right? It's very Wonder Years-y, right? Of him, well, there's this one time I did this thing, you know what I mean? We get to see Nathan Fillion fuck around a little bit as
and
Nathan Drake.
And it's not like Nathan Fillion's the Ancient of Days or anything.
I know. But I mean, the whole argument about, I think, when people wanted him to actually be Drake in these movies was, he's not old, but he's too old for the role. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like, you know, they're probably trying, like everything else in the world, they're trying to make this into a franchise. So you need to look at the next 10, 15 years, which is why Tom Holland, all right, this young buck out there.
Nathan Drake, Kingdom Come. I mean, that's really
that's
the answer.
Yeah, sure.
Be all right with that.
But then we went through the rest of Instagram. I'll tell you, I didn't realize he was losing weight. And he's got a photo of him in a suit on there that looks pulled from Uncharted, the video game.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably marketing. I said, I want to see him involved in the project, but there's a part of me that kind of wishes we just all misconstrued this, and he was just like, man, I'd really just like to stream Uncharted next week.
I'll make a tweet. Uncharted with Drake.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. Like, it's probably not that. It's probably marketing.
We'll find out Monday, apparently, and of course, we'll talk about it here on Kinda Funny Games Daily if it happens on time for the show. Otherwise, we'll talk about it on Tuesday, and it'll be old news, but you'll know about it. Number two, here's what I want you to do right now, everybody. Get a grain of salt off the ground, and you're holding on to this, because this is something that I saw on IGN that I've seen nowhere else, that I cannot confirm for myself. Ooh. I feel like the verbiage in the IGN article is very unclear and left me hanging. I reached out for a comment. Let's see if I have it. I don't think I did. Not from IGN, from Epic. I just want to double check before
you got that comment.
On a normal day, if this was locked, stocked, we knew exactly what it was, lead story. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we think it is. Basically, Fortnite, apparently, with its new patch, of course, Season 5 out drops today, is allowing Switches to be linked to former PS4 accounts. That's muddled verbiage on my own part. IGN reports this directly. This is the IGN thing in the article. They were talking about the fact that this now adds motion controls, gyro controls to Switch. But then they go, the second change is the ability to use your Epic Games account even if you've played on PlayStation 4. So I feel like I saw people celebrating this in the comments, and that verbiage alone left me like, wait, no, this isn't what you think it is.
Okay.
The second change is the ability to use your Epic Games account even if you've played on PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you know, no crossplay.
Right.
And that's a separate issue from all of this.
Yeah.
Then there was no cross progression, which I believe is a separate issue from all of this.
Okay.
Then there was, I have my Epic account. I primarily play on PC or wherever, even on PlayStation 4. I try to go over and play on on Switch, and I'm denied because of this deal with PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a big problem for people who, I'm a PC player. I've put thousands of dollars into Fortnite content. I played on PS4 once, linked it once with PlayStation 4, and I want to link to Switch, and I can't. I have to make a new account. I can't do that. It sounds to me, and this is me now hypothesizing, what it means is that if you unlink your PlayStation 4 account, you can then go link it to Switch. Mm-hmm. But I think that is going to still disqualify you. That's not true cross progression, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because when I went to look into this, right, I went in there with my old PlayStation 4 thing. I went to unlink my PlayStation 4 and immediately, well, first off, I went to link my Switch. So I'm already linked to PlayStation 4, went to link my Switch, got the normal message. This Fortnite account is associated with a platform that does not allow it to operate on Switch.
Okay.
Okay. So then I'm like, I'll unlink it from PlayStation, then link to Switch. I go to unlink it on PlayStation. I get, unlinking the service will not unlock restricted platforms. Now, right there, that's the same message we've gotten forever. So that would imply right there, nothing's changed.
Okay.
I don't understand what the change IGN is reporting is. IGN, the only people that are reporting this.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else has the patch notes up. No one else is mentioning that this ability is in there.
Do you just want to call Goldfarb and put him on the spot like right now?
No, because it was Goldfarb who wrote it. It was somebody else. Okay. So it's one of those, it was developing quickly. I hit up Epic with my, hey, does this mean that? And does this do that? Like, but the fact that, first off, keep in mind, when I was like, let's unlink from PlayStation, and the message I got, of course, is, cool, this is going to reset you to zero. Everything you've purchased on this account is gone now.
Yeah.
Like you, so this isn't a solution if I'm a PC player who put X amount of dollars into it.
I think more importantly, if this were actually happening, it would be being trumpeted from the rooftops of just about everybody involved, not just on comment sections, but that we'd have PR speak around this.
Of
there
course.
Would be very carefully crafted PR speak from every angle, from PlayStation's angle, from Epic's angle, from Nintendo's angle.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen any of that yet.
And that's why I think you would have seen something. I don't think it's, again, well, yeah, I want to bring in Brett from Virginia Beach, who's talking about something completely different but related. And if you, kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong, if something's breaking while we're happening, or you understand this better than I do on what they mean by this and if it's being reported anywhere else.
Get ready for that you're wrong section, my friend.
Brett. Well, we'll just read one of them. We don't have to read all of them. Brett writes in and says, Season 5 of Fortnite is starting today, and I'm officially abandoning my PlayStation 4 Epic account. I gave Sony as long as possible to allow crossplay, but I can wait no longer. I'm leaving tons of skins for multiple battle passes behind, but being able to play with friends on other platforms is too great. It seems like the new season of Fortnite will be a major turning point for many PlayStation 4 players regarding whether to re-up their battle passes on PS4 or just fully make the Switch, wink, to a new account. What are your thoughts on Sony still refusing to allow crossplay, and how much this will realistically hurt them with Fortnite fans going forward? I bring this in because I don't feel, again, we're that far from this actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Not crossplay. Crossplay, I don't think is going to happen. I don't think that's going to be a thing. I think cross progression is boneheaded move not to have that now. And I think that, as Sean Layden said, they're looking into it and it's very difficult in this. I think they're going to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will continue to hurt them drastically, even in the way that H1Z1, as we talked about yesterday, was able to go up above Fortnite on the free downloads on the PSN, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't get me wrong, H1Z1 had a great month in general and has found an audience since launch.
Oh, well, PlayStation's put themselves in a place where they're a weird outlier in the Fortnite ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to play, but they're the one place you don't want to because they're the one place that doesn't play nice with everyone else.
Yeah.
And the appeal of this game is that you can play nice with everyone else everywhere else. If you have any other option to play Fortnite and everyone in the world that owns a phone or a Switch or a PC does, why play on PS4 now?
Yeah.
They've just made it unappetizing.
In our incredibly small, microcosm of an ecosystem here, we just convinced Nick to buy a new dock for home for his Switch, right? Because he's been going home and playing at PS4.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, great. We're not. I mean, Andy once in a while will, but we're not going to do that. Like, get on here. We're like, literally, Joey was up to like 3 a.m. last night playing Switch Fortnite. Like, that's where it's at right now. And
I love my PS4, but they waited too long to fix this.
100%. And that's even when the kids were celebrating this on IGN's comment section, thinking it was what they wanted, which I don't think it is. A lot of people in that comment section were like, this is too little too late. Like, I'm already gone. And I feel that there was a comment that didn't make, or a question, I should say, to Kind of Funny Today that didn't make the cut because it's kind of well-worn territory. But it was someone waking up to the fact that, hey, me and my friend went to go get the platinum in Minecraft on PlayStation 4 and noticed that it didn't get the updates that Xbox and Switch and every, because of course with the Bedrock Everybody Play Together update, they were basically like, cool, from now on all the updates apply to all the systems just like they do with Fortnite, right? Except PlayStation 4, mm-hmm. where it's like, all right, cool, for Minecraft, and this is now Minecraft talking about their updates, we can't, PlayStation 4's got to be its own thing, so everything's going to be updated here as it goes across phones and iPads and PC and Mac, and, you know, and the list goes on.
I was talking to Angie last night about this, and that's, we brought wife. It up in the, yeah, it's my wife, and we've brought this, I don't know if she's not a kind of honey, she's my honey.
I mean, technically, I guess she is, but at the end, then we get into this part timer realm. You know what I mean?
Part timer, it's a little weird.
I don't know. We got to figure it out. You're on two shows. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Is John Drake a kind of honey?
No, I forget what the reasoning was there too. Why he didn't come on the Kind of Honey podcast? Mm-hmm. I forget why. Because I pushed real hard for it.
You did,
but it's because it was that thing. I pushed real hard for it, and then of course, the fact that he wasn't, but kind of is, didn't let him in the best friend tournament either. Same thing for you, right? If you've ever collected a paycheck from us, we don't put you in the best friend tournament thing we did.
Right, that's it's a confusing. Different.
And I, you know, it's one of those things that since this is all made up and stupid, I don't focus too much on it. I forget why we said that's how it was.
Oh, we got to figure this out then. Okay, right, yeah. I've never asked this inquiry.
You're talking to Angie.
I was talking to Angie last night about the fact that if you look back at the history of video games all the way back to the NES,
yeah,
every major console generation in American history from the NES on, yeah, the leader in the pack has, for reasons of self-destructive hubris, fallen behind a competitor, with the exception of the leap from PS1 to PS2. Every other generation, NES to SNES, the Genesis came in and swooped up half the marketplace. That next top from 16 to 32, PlayStation came in and stole it from everybody. PlayStation to PlayStation 2 was consistent, but then in PS3 era, 360 swooped in and took it. And then on and on. PlayStation 4 supplanting the 360. And every single time, when you look at why it happened, it was a self-inflicted wound, yep. Greg. Yep. They shot themselves in the foot because they got big and they stopped listening.
Yeah.
I am really worried about this.
Yeah.
This is, well, I mean, I worry it's a microcosmic issue.
It's history repeating. It's the Matrix.
And I understand we're talking about a small issue here, but I keep seeing little signs like this.
Sure.
And that scares the heck out of me as a PlayStation fan.
I want to toss this in here. Lord of Pwn is saying in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. It appears IGN made the report an error regarding Fortnite. People on Reddit are reporting that nothing has changed on that front. Tricky Ricky says regarding the Fortnite thing, I don't think it's live. I unlinked my PlayStation 4 and tried linking my Switch, and it doesn't seem to be working. I'm reading IGN's article, and I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong. I'm just 100% done with Fortnite on Switch. Yeah, I don't think it's you. I think it's that.
Okay.
And then, more for the Nathan Fillion update here. Apparently, while we were here about to go live, he put up a new picture on his Instagram that's a series of maps and a magnifying glass. So,
okay.
We're building towards a YouTube video.
This is definitely something. Either a YouTube video or a license. It could be some kind of... It could be on Netflix. It could be... You know, yeah. It might not just be a YouTube video. It might be some kind of sponsored marketing content for the movie.
Kids point out, too, that we can't talk about this on Monday because we won't have Kind of Funny Games Daily, because I just talked about that Amazon Prime stream.
What if it's like a fake casting call where he's like being rejected and passed over for
totally.
Tom Holland?
There's that a million fun ways to do it.
Sorry, Nate. You're just too old.
We're not going to talk about Fortnite anymore, but we'll keep talking about Epic. Number three, Epic has made Unreal Engine an even sweeter deal. This is from Rebecca Valentine over at gamesindustry.biz. Epic Games has adjusted the revenue share split of its Unreal Engine marketplace, offering a higher percentage of asset sales to their developers. Proceeds of sales will be split 88% going to the developer and 12% to the store, as opposed to the former 70-30 split. The change in revenue share split will be effective retroactively, with developers receiving payouts for all sales since the store's 2014 launch in accordance with the new distribution. Quote, thanks to both the marketplace's growth and the success of Fortnite, Epic now conducts a huge volume of digital commerce, said Tim Sweeney, Epic CEO and founder. The resulting economies of scale enable us to pass the savings along to the Unreal Engine marketplace community, while also making a healthy profit for Epic, end quote. The Unreal Engine Marketplace is a digital storefront or digital store, they say, for Unreal developers, where artists, sound engineers, animators, and other creators can sell assets they have made in Unreal Engine to others who need them in their own projects.
So if you make video games and you're an engineer or a level designer or a programmer, you may not have the skills to create music or art or any of the things you actually need to have a video game.
Think about all the shit I talk about when I'm like, Dreams is amazing because you could just be great at sculpting or just be great at music and upload that and share it. That's what this is, but you're making money.
Yes. And so the Epic has long had this already extremely beneficial marketplace where you can just go be like, man, I sure do need a train asset. Well, you know, some engineer some designer someplace has made a train asset. He's put it on there. And every time you buy it, Epic makes a little money and he makes a lot of money. And now Epic's like, you know what? You can have an even bigger cut. But more importantly, holy crap, they are retroactively paying out the difference to everyone who sold anything on their store for the last 4 years. This is like if you went shopping on Amazon, Amazon lowered the price on something, and they sent you a check for everything you bought on Amazon for the last 4 years that they lowered the price on, covering the difference.
Yeah.
That's what Epic's doing here. That's unreal. That is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, like, no, this is... I understand so many of you and us aren't game developers, aren't using this thing, aren't doing... like. Think about what they're saying here. They're doing the thing almost no company does.
Yeah.
Of like, cool, we're doing so well now, thanks to you. We're going to lower this percentage. We don't need as much money from these sales as we were getting because Fortnite is doing so well and we're selling so much over there.
Here's a tiny personal effect. I talk every now and then about how I play around with a little game. The game I'm working on right now is 2D. So it's very well suited for Game Maker, which is nicely optimized for Steam and probably the right place for me to be. But after reading this, I'm going to go back and pop back in the Unreal Store again because Unreal's always been a great tool. I didn't think it was the best suited for my project, but like kind of this just makes me want to go back and take a second look.
This is what we talk about in terms of building a brand and building brand loyalty and doing the right thing, if all that makes sense. Yeah. And I know it sounds like we're blowing Epic because we are. This is an amazing thing. They're doing an amazing thing here that can't be overlooked in how hard it is to make a video game.
They made it much more feasible for some people to make video games than it was yesterday.
Right.
That's really cool.
And it's that thing for me. I saw this break, but we didn't do Games Daily early because we were running in here to play Fortnite and do all that stuff. And what I talked about there was, and I hope this is what, you know, I'm sure Epic wants out of this kind of thing when news like this breaks, is I bought the Battle Pass this morning, right? Went for the $25 one to get the extra levels and shit because I've had so much fun with Fortnite that I played this last season, right? That I'm like, I'm all in on this one, of course. And when I bought it, I went into the store and saw they had the superhero skin up that I was like, kind of looks like the Rocketeer. And I was like, well, that's fucking dope. But I'm like, I don't want to spend another $10. I just spent the money here on this thing today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the kind of decision I'm like, again, you've earned that extra $10. I will buy that skin today because you're doing the right, you're being amazing people. You're being good business people.
It's thinking about what this means for small devs. That's 18 more cents on every dollar they sell.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And the retroactive thing. Yeah. That's, amazing. Good on you, Epic.
That blew my mind. The retroactive thing. I'm just like, what? It seems unprecedented. I can't think.
Not that I follow that side of the business that closely. I don't remember Steam doing something like that.
Kind
of funny.com, so you're not sure wrong. Not the, hey, we're changing our percentages, but going back and trying to do it for 4 years.
The retroactive payback. Although we did get those, ambassador games for the 3DS.
There you go. Same thing. Same apples to apples. Number four. Jared, you added this, and of course that means it's from Big Twinfinite.
That's right.
Your Twinfinite money hat. Dragon Ball FighterZ, DRM broken. Pirated copies, allowing online play. This is Ian Napier. According to users on Reset Era and Steam, Dragon Ball FighterZ's De Nuvo encryption has been bypassed, and pirated copies are reportedly able to join online lobbies and play with legitimate players. Users are reporting encountering pirated players online or known pirates that have played matches with veteran accounts. Despite some of these claims having been already debunked, there's a suggestion that pirated copies are also using the Payday 2 demo ID to legitimize a copy with Steam. The Payday 2 demo has seen a rise in player count over the past couple of days, with player counts jumping from the mid-700s to well over 2,000, according to Steam charts. De Nuvo DRM, Digital Rights Management, has been a controversial topic in the PC community for the past few years now. While preventing games piracy is absolutely within the right of every publisher, many players and developers have claimed that De Nuvo has caused performance issues with games that implement it. This has been especially true with fighting games, as Tekken director Kat... Hold on, don't tell me. Don't... Katsuhiro
Harada
tweeted out recently that De Nuvo is the cause for substantial frame drops in the PC version of Tekken 7. It's no surprise, then, that when it was revealed that one of the most popular fighting games this year, Dragon Ball FighterZ, and is that how I'm supposed to pronounce
fighters.
It?
Fighters.
That's what
stupid,
I say. Just Fighters.
If your show's Dragon Ball Z and you put the Z at the end of Fighters, I'm going
to
pronounce it.
I like to say if Dragon Ball's Fighters Z, just to be...
We're just going
to
call it Dragon Ball from now on. We'll be used... No, Dragon Ball Fight. And you know what? I'm not going to say its name ever again. We'll be using De Nuvo. The community didn't respond kindly. Outspoken fans called for the game to be cracked so that De Nuvo could be removed entirely, thus preventing any performance issues.
All right, so I put this in here mostly because it harkens back to an age-old question around games. Copy protection, but also when copy protection affects performance or your ability to make backup copies of games on vulnerable media or things like always online at all the obnoxious things folks do to try to control the way you use products you're purchasing or, from their perspective, licensing. And that really becomes a sticky place. There's a lot of... The fun thing about law is it's largely a matter of what you can get away with and what you think you can pay your lawyer more to get away with than somebody else can and what may or may not ever be brought to trial. That's especially true in civil law, which is where things like licensing and copyrights are mostly handled. And so... A publisher can tell you, here's what you can do with your software, but that may or may not actually be true. It really depends on what happens when it finally goes to court. And in a situation like this, I think all the way back to the age of like 5 1/4 floppy disks with certain copy protection schemes on certain pieces of software would like keep you from making backup copies.
Yeah.
And what happened when that fragile medium broke and you were just like, well, wait, I don't have my disk. Well, I'll send back, you know, you're supposed to send off to the publisher and get a new one. Well, why? It's mine. I bought it. I want to make a backup copy. At the same time, publishers were going, 9 out of 10 copies of our games in the wild, nobody ever bought.
Yeah.
They're just cracked copies. And back and forth it goes. You think about the beginning of this generation. What happened? Remember when Xbox One was going to be online all the time?
Yep. Always online. Cloud. Powered and all
that.
Gotta
do that cloud power because you know right through that
family
big,
ecosystem
right through that now. Right through that broadband connection you're going to be able to do some super computing. There won't be any lag on that at all. That was, man, if there has ever been more bull in the history of marketing, I don't know what it is.
I wish they would have done it. I'm in that camp to this day.
What? You thought the connection was going to be fast enough to make that work?
I wanted to see what they had up their sleeves. I wanted them to believe in that vision enough to be like, fuck you guys, we're going to make it cool and you're going to see
in a 5G world, I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I think in the world we're in right now with no infrastructure backbone, it would have been a disaster.
Sure.
But we look at these things, folks trying to control it, and here's another example of that. I don't particularly have a lot of experience with De Nuvo. I've read the same complaints. I've certainly seen... always on features that affect gameplay before or game accessibility. Do I have the right to use a cracked copy of something to allow me to enjoy it legally? I don't know. Ethically? Absolutely. And I think that's important.
If I bought it.
Now, do I have the right to go out there and grab somebody's software for my own purposes? Legally? Definitely not. Ethically? That's a whole other can of worms. As somebody who wants to make video games someday for a living, which I bring up, I want people to buy games, not grab them. But I would be a bold-faced liar if I didn't say that when I got to college during the rise of the age of emulation, one of the first things I didn't do was download every NES game I could find.
My internet's how fast? Give me Nesticle. Exactly. We're going all in.
Nesticle?
I had Nesticle on there. That fucking gross-ass icon of balls on my screen.
And that was weird. Dripping.
Why?
They were bloody. As emulation went then, that was really good. And I'm not trying to nitpick here, but obviously at that point, nobody was making money off those games. I eventually, but playing those emulated games really helped get me back into video game history. I started going out and legitimately buying games.
I feel like
again.
That's apples and oranges. This is what you're talking about.
If, now we're talking about a new product that we're just
grabbing. I can't go to the store and buy a copy of Ghostbusters on Sega Master System and get Activision their cut and have them be like, oh man, we should make more. It doesn't work that way anymore.
But from a legal perspective, strictly speaking, they think it does. But from a practical perspective, of course it doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's part of the fun. I mean, it's, you know, that there's this thing going on in Japan right now. Retro game bars all over Japan are being shut down.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So there's this really cool culture of retro barcades in Japan. It's been around for a long time. And you can go in and they'll just have old consoles plugged in and memorabilia. It's like a living museum. They're all over those. The 8-Bit Cafe, one of my favorite places in the entire world. Just go in, play Famicom games, drink a Princess Peach or a Dr. Mario. Those are their cocktails.
Hell
and
yeah.
Hang out. There's a weird copyright law, or I weird from my perspective.
What you think's weird,
what I think's weird in Japan, that if you're going to display a video game on a screen in public, you have to license that.
Wow.
I don't understand how that's different from showing a soccer game over a bar, but it is. And so what that means is technically these folks are breaking the law.
Sure.
Because they're not licensed to have
console. Well, that's the thing
games.
Is like, and I'm speaking out my booty right now. Stick with me though. I feel like isn't every bar in America that shows an NFL game, or not an NFL, that's a bad one. No, they say an NFL too, I think. But UFC or WWE pay-per-views or whatever, they do run the thing beforehand of like,
this is licensed for
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know the legalese around
either.
That
I don't
end.
Either. Yeah.
What I do know is that in Japan, their equivalent of the ESA or something very much like that is
has guns.
Just suing people. Like, they are literally shutting people down.
Yeah.
And there's a guy runs a place in Nagoya right now, Alex Frioli, who is an American expat. And he's like, I have to take them out because I am a foreigner living in Japan. I'll be deported.
Sure. Yeah.
If
you
I'm raided.
Fuck around with that. Yeah.
And so his business is just, the entire model of his business is gone.
Sure.
Now, again, there's a lot of concerns about that. I don't want to be insensitive to the niceties of Japanese culture or the reasons these things came along. But there are real teeth to issues like this. That's what I'm trying to point out.
Yeah.
And lots of nuance perspectives we need to take on them. I talked a long time there.
Just buy Dragon Ball FighterZ, everybody. And you don't like how it runs on PC? Guess what? I've been saying it for years, and now I got proof. PC gaming sucks. Get out while you can.
Listen to you.
You know what I mean?
This is not the takeaway from that. This is not
buy the game. Give them the money. Come on, guys.
But if it's screwing up how you play your game.
But I feel like, aren't we talking about two different things here? Because the article starts with, the encryption's been bypassed. Pirated copies are able to join online lobbies. So there's now, I feel like the article talks about two different things then, right? I'm cracking the copy I own to remove this fucking thing that slows everything down. Mm-hmm. In that sense, I'm like, yeah, totally. I think that's within your rights. But in the first part of it, the pirated copies are getting online. Are they talking about the ones? They're not talking about the ones that have been purchased and work, are they? They're talking about the ones that somebody pirated, I
think. I what they're saying is that there's probably two things going on. Some people are just stealing them.
Yeah.
And then some people are taking the DRM out so it'll run better. And using this to subvert and still logging in so they can play online.
I'm fine with you're taking out the thing that makes it run poorly.
But there's no way to tell.
I know.
Because you have to
problem.
Do the same
that's
thing.
Why that's why I don't know what's happening anymore.
And again, I feel like a giant hypocrite because I'm thinking about, like, you know, please don't arrest me. But I'm thinking about in college, you know, somebody I knew loaded 20 copies of Quake on all the computer lab computers. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was one purchased copy of Quake.
Yeah.
You know,
hopefully someone in that room bought Quake at one point.
And that's the other end of it. But I do think it's important to support devs. I also think that people should sell software that works. And when you see another version of something running better, and you're like, but, yeah.
It's like Cool Greg always says, don't break the law. Cops are cool. Number five, the final one for the day. This is a late-breaking one you added. It's from the Twitters, as Jared says. James Olin is retiring. I'm assuming this is a tweet from him.
This is his tweet.
After 22 years, I've retired from BioWare. I've loved my time with Anthem, Star Wars, Dragon Age, and Dungeons & Dragons, but I need to take a break from the industry and work on something a little smaller and more personal. Then you put in here.
Yeah, this is stuff he's worked on. So among the many works of James Olin, game director for Star Wars The Old Republic, lead designer on Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, Neverwinter Nights, KOTOR, and Dragon Age.
Hell yeah.
Holy crap, what a resume. So James Olin is one of the greats.
Yeah, sounds like it.
In video game development. And whatever he's looking forward to doing next, that's really exciting. I can't wait to see what it is. But while he's stepping away, great loss to us all. Yeah. James, go rest, have fun, and do other great things later. Thanks for making great games.
Take a breath, man. Jared, I can't wait to see what James does next. It's going to be smaller, apparently, more personal. That sounds exciting, yeah. Similar to what Ken Levine's up to. But it's so far away! If I wanted to know what came to the digital mom and grab shops today, where would I go?
I go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every
weekday. Yeah.
Greg, it's Thursday.
You know what that means. If I don't fucking say a platform, it's on Switch. Express Raider. Philippix, Phil's Epic Adventure. Fortnite Season 5 is on everything, as I've said earlier. Drop today. Whole new stuff to the map. New characters. You got a golf cart. It's a lot of fun. We streamed it this morning. We'll probably be streaming a lot of it. And on Switch, you got the gyro motion controls have been added. Ghost 1.0.
The sequel to Ghost 0.9.
Holy Potatoes, a weapon shop. Neo Geo, the super spy. Radio Hammer Station. Shelter Generations. Star Story, the Horizon Escape. Super Volley Blast. Assault Gunners HD Edition. Philippix, Phil's Epic Adventure is on here again, but there's a demo version, so I'll act like I did it on purpose. Johnny Turbo's Arcade, Express Raider.
Johnny Turbo back again.
Yeah, Johnny Turbo's never going away. New dates for you. I was doing the thing where I was making sure I didn't read Express Raider. So I did. Damn it. See, the Kotaku list takes out the Johnny Turbos thing. Mm-hmm. And then I verify that against the Nintendo list.
Okay.
So Express Raider got three or four shoutouts today.
Express Raider.
I'm in Johnny Turbo's pocket, everybody. That's big right. Money Johnny Turbo, you making me promote
Johnny,
his games.
Johnny Turbo brought us Super Burger Time for the first time in ages. True. And if nothing else, that was worth it.
New dates for you. Fall of Light Darkest Edition will be launching digitally on Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Xbox One later this summer. Lost Phone Stories on Nintendo Switch is coming July 19th. It's bundling a normal lost phone and another lost phone, Laura's Story. State of Mind is coming to consoles and PC on August 15th, 2018. And then Remnant from the Ashes comes to Xbox, PS4, PC, 2019.
That's by Gunfire, the folks that did Darksiders.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's why I put that on there. It's, I see. A new thing by them.
Good job. Time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsor, Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in the sheets, and they make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep on the best sheets ever. That's brooklinen.com. The best sheets. They're comfortable. They got no big markup. Most bedding's marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen says, Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews. I'm one of them. I sleep on them every night. I've said this before. Instagram photos of Portillo in the bed. He's on the Brooklinen sheets. Me and Jen sleeping in the bed with Portillo. We're on the Brooklinen sheets. The Brooklinen sheets are dirty. We wash them. We put them back on the bed. We don't even cycle the sheets anymore with any other sheets.
You just washing them, drying them, getting right back in there again.
That's how you got to do it. Get that dryer sheet smell in them.
Two questions for you, Greg.
Yeah.
One, yeah. As always, what comes between you and your Brooklinen?
Nothing.
Second.
Yeah.
Think we asked Brooklinen and they'd send us enough sheets to make a blanket for it?
You've been pitching this blanket for it for as long as I've known you, and I'm willing to reach out.
Are you?
I'll try. Everybody, tweet at Brooklinen and with me included and be like, hey, these sheets sound pretty cool. Why not hook Kind of Funny up with enough to make a blanket for it?
I really want to do a blanket for it episode.
I'm in. Right. Brooklinen are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on, and right now you can go to brooklinen.com and get this exclusive offer. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
I feel like you ought to be like doing a pyramid right there. Just yeah. Kinda, yeah, you just have like
here's
some
what I feel
come
bad
out.
About, Jared.
What's that?
I'm a morning person, right? All I right. get out of bed, I come to work, I'm on these shows, and I'm fucking going. The freight train is rolling. And then throughout the day, I get more and more tired. And then I get home, and I feel like I'm just a zombie. Uh-huh. Like, you know, Jen must think I just hate everything because I just sit there and I don't have this kind of energy because I spend it all on this show. You know what I mean?
You know what would solve that?
What?
A blanket for it.
I fucking hate you.
Because then you can relax in the morning and you come back energized.
First question of the day. comes from Greg Ead over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD, who wrote in and says, I was recently doing some hiking in Arizona and couldn't help but think about roaming some open plains slash desert in Red Dead Redemption.
Ooh.
It got me hyped for the amazing scenery I'm expecting to see when the game and crazy environments we'll all explore. Have you ever traveled somewhere that made you excited for or yearn for a particular game? If so, which ones and where? Thanks for considering me for the show. Bring back Orioration, but for DiGiorno pizzas. DiGiorno diatribe, maybe.
Okay, diatribe, good word. DiGiorno diatribe, that's good branding right there.
I don't mind it. I would love a good DiGiorno taste tester on this part. DiGiorno, I know you're listening. Send a whole bunch of pizzas. Maybe I'll make it happen, or maybe I'll just eat all the pizzas.
Yeah, how do I get a cool pair of those DiGiorno socks? I need some of those.
Do we give them all away at prom, or there's still somewhere?
I think
DiGiorno, send more socks, more buffalo chicken pizzas.
We got socks here? Yeah. Oh, I want to steal some of this. Man, I'm asking you for a lot of stuff today. I want blanket forts. I want your Amazon sweat.
Well, DiGiorno's easy. Socks. They're watching. DiGiorno watches all the shows. They're probably popping off in chat right now.
All right.
And if they're not, they're going to be popping off in the YouTube comments. And I'm sure on the subreddit, they'll be there too, because they're obsessive best friends. We love them very much. Jared?
Yeah.
I picked this question because it used the word yearn, which I was like, Jared's going to have a story for this.
I do yearn.
Does the soul still burn? Where you been walking around where you're like, I want to play this game because of this area?
Okay, well, there's two. First, actually, just like him, Red Dead had a pretty profound effect on me.
Yeah.
And when I first played Red Dead Redemption, I'd never seen the American West. I talk about this on, you know, Red Dead Radio, the Red Dead Redemption podcast.
What's that podcast?
Why, that's Red Dead Radio, the Red Dead Redemption podcast.
Is it weekly?
It is weekly. Every Friday, Red Dead Radio. You can find it at reddeadradio.com. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, all those
podcast services around the globe.
Indeed. You can also... iHeartRadio at all, etc. You can also watch it on youtube.com/hotblipandajump.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And if you want to support it, you can do that at Patreon. There we go. But it's a weekly Red Dead podcast. We have a lot of fun there. Talk a lot about movies, talk a lot about Western mythos and how cinematic influences work in video games.
Yeah.
We just spent the episode that's going up this week, we asked people what they want in Red Dead Redemption, and boy, did they have a lot of responses. So that's been fun. I think a long argument about dumb cowboy hats. But when I came out west,
yeah,
I never seen the West. I had seen it in film. I'd read a lot of Western literature, watched movies. I didn't understand Red Dead until I came through, because we drove cross country.
Yeah.
So we cut through Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, California. And having never beheld these places with my eyes, the fact that the desert changes every 50 miles... The fact that you can be traveling through a wasteland and then a different kind of wasteland, and it's utterly beautiful, and each is vastly distinct from the other. And then suddenly you're in a garden of paradise, and then suddenly you're in a place where there are blue mesas rising up all around you in colors you've never seen anywhere else in the world. And that really did draw me toward that game experience, which emulates some of that. But the big yearn is for a little town in Japan called Seki, where I lived for several years, and Persona 4.
Mm.
P4G is a game set in a small Japanese town with bored kids wandering around and not a lot to do. And it's kind of laid back rural culture Japan.
Yeah.
That's where I lived. I didn't live in Tokyo. I didn't live in Nagoya. I didn't live in Osaka. I lived in a little town up in the mountains.
And that's why for me, Persona 5 was so bittersweet in a way, because I mean I love Japan, I love Tokyo, I love the metropolitan area, and so to be there and have that game be so faithful to it and such a great recreation of what it's like to ride the subway, to what's it like to ride the trains, what's it like to walk around, it's just like being there, it was like so beautiful to play, but then also like, when am I gonna get to go back?
Yeah, to give you an idea here, I think it's hard for folks in America to get their heads around this. A quarter of the population of Japan lives in the Tokyo metro area.
Yeah.
If that were America, that would be as if there were 80 million people in New York City. That's the proportion of the American population that would have to be in one city for it to be the same way.
Yeah.
So Tokyo, there's nothing like it on Earth.
Yeah.
Mexico City's the closest analogy. And it makes a place of just marvelous cultural distinctiveness and crowdedness and energy and variety. Whereupon P4G is about bored kids hanging around at a pseudo Walmart in the television section, which is what my students were doing
before and after
class.
Yeah.
I mean, all that world, that was my home.
Yeah.
So every time I pick up P4G, I'm back in Seki. The only thing that's really missing is the town there's a little more down the hill. I was up in the mountains, and that makes a slight difference in the way the geography of the game feels.
Sure.
But the little quiet Main Street with all the local businesses and all those people you just walk and see and know.
Yeah.
That was my life.
All the NPCs of the world.
Yeah. That was that was it. I yearn.
You yearn. The soul still burns. Panks writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi, Greg and Jarrett. RPGs, and more specifically JRPGs, aren't normally my jam, but the first demo for Octopath Traveler had me instantly hooked. Since, as far as I can tell, the review embargo is up today, I'd love to hear what you both think of the game. Thanks for all the great content." Again, today, this afternoon, 3 p.m., patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We're doing the Kind of Funny Games cast, where we will go super in-depth with what we've been playing on in Octopath, what we think of Octopath. This is, yes, a cheap plug for that for you to watch later. Or go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and watch it on Friday or listen to it on Friday. Or wait for it to be free on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or podcast services around the world on Monday. But
we're getting them plugs in.
Pence, I'm very much like you, where it's a special JRPG that can bring me in. And for the most part, it's been Persona before. Persona 3, Persona 4, and I can't even really, I guess, legitimately put Persona 5 on that list because I wasn't compelled to finish it. This is one of those games.
Yeah.
Where I think this is a special game, and I'm excited to talk about it today and express how I think it's overcome a lot of hurdles that would keep me from the traditional JRPG.
It has a kind of an existential simplicity that I really love. It feels fundamental.
Yeah.
It's not simple. It just feels elemental almost. I really love it.
No, I want to talk more. I can't wait to talk today about it, but I wanted to make sure that was there. But we do have, of course, the review embargo is up. A couple other questions about Octopath. Goodham Hayes writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Will we see Octopath Traveler on other platforms? My question is a simple one. Will we ever see Octopath Traveler on the PlayStation ecosystem? If yes, when? Or if no, why? I have a Switch, but I would love to be a Octoplatinum Traveler."
Ah!
See what I did there? "Thanks. I love all my Kind of Funny Games Daily hosts and Kevin too. Have a great Thursday."
I had no background on this. I don't know.
I believe it's a no, right? I was talking to Tim about it. He was like, "No." And I was like, "Why?" And it's published by Nintendo, it seems.
Yeah.
And granted, publishing a game doesn't mean you necessarily have... we have examples like Mass Effect, right? The original Mass Effect being published by Microsoft, but eventually getting to PlayStation, yada, yada, yada. But I would say, no, it's not going to happen.
I think it'd be some time if that were going to occur.
And that would be the thing, is it's going to be a long time. I think you should just suck it up and get on Switch and play it, because it's great, and it's going to go with you and be perfect. And that's, again, even as I'm playing this one, I'm like, man, this would be great if the Persona 5 would do this for me.
Mentally, this has almost been a second party game for me, which is weird because it's Square.
Well, I mean, that's the way they've positioned it, right? Yeah. And it is the thing where when I go into a Nintendo Direct, I expect to hear about Octopath Traveler. When I watch a Square Enix press conference, I don't. If that makes sense. Because it is so, and that's what Nintendo wants, obviously, with these arrangements and deals.
Good year for RPGs. We have Octopath, or for JRPGs, we have Octopath Traveler, and we've got Dragon Quest XI running toward us,
too. Oh, right. Yeah,
My initial impressions of that are extremely favorable.
Okay.
I'm pretty darn excited about that game. I tell you, I got a chance to meet Hori the other day.
No.
I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it kind of blew my mind.
Was that an anime expo?
Yeah. You know, I got to hang out for about an hour.
That's awesome, dude.
That was really extraordinary. I'm going to put an article up on the internets about that later.
Where?
Probably the old Imagine Games Network.
Oh, I've heard of that place.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, though, if I'm missing something about why or why it's not coming, other than just Nintendo's publishing, let me know. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. One more in the Octopath vein from Photography Raptor, wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. "Good morning, KFGD folk. This morning, Jason Schreier posted his review of Octopath Traveler, and in his words, it's, quote, not great. I respect Jason's opinions as much as just about anybody online not named Greg Miller, and I've enjoyed the demo so far. But my questions is regarding the responses to his posts. Many people were, quote unquote, regretting their pre-orders in dealing with, quote unquote, bleeding hearts over the news, which both seemed extreme. Three posts later on my Twitter feed, IGN posted their review and gave Octopath Traveler a 9.3.
Seth Macy, shout out.
Yep. It almost feels like we're in a similar place with video game reviews as we are in the political news climate, where people follow one source and take what they say as fact, rather than doing research, getting multiple opinions, and making an educated decision on whether they want to buy the game. So my question is, as former game reviewers, was this ever something you took into consideration when reviewing a game? Meaning, did you have the understanding that readers would make decisions based solely off of your review, or was that never in play? Thanks for all you do. #SaveTheChicken.
Save that chicken indeed. Excellent. Love that. Yeah, first off, consider who's giving the review based on what they've liked in the past that you've liked. I mean, that's one bit. I have reviewers that I really respect that I don't share preferences with.
100%.
We learned that working at IGN, I think. You're sitting next to somebody, you're like, you obviously know a ton about video games. I like playing video games with you. I like talking video games with you. And we totally disagree.
Yeah.
On a lot of video games. 100%. And you learn to understand that you can respect someone's professional ability and not have the same taste in games with them. So look for people that share your taste.
And that's that's one of the things you're talking about, Photography Raptor, is the way that you respect Jason Schreier as much as you respect me. And the people who are upset in the comments of his review of it not living up to their hype, maybe they are the people that usually connect with Jason reviews. So if Jason doesn't like it, that's a big canary in the coal mine for them of like, mm-hmm. oh, crap, like we usually line up on everything. So if he's not that. And from what I understand, too, I tried to read through or breeze through him. Jason, yeah, was like, it's not great, but he still liked it. It wasn't mm-hmm. that he didn't not like the game. It's just it's like too simple, I think, or something to that effect.
And second thing is read the review.
Yeah,
read all the reviews.
Yeah.
I read several reviews. Find people that you follow and trust.
Sure.
And read those as well.
But yeah, I understood that I'd be the sole place when I reviewed games. When I reviewed a game, I understood that for some people, I was the only review they'd read. But it doesn't weigh on my mind because I'm going to come out and be honest and give every game a fair shake. I mean, I never came into a game being like, I'm going to fuck this one up. Or I'm going to... Obviously, come into games with preconceptions of, I'm going to love this, I think.
I had to give a Mario game a bad score once, and it broke my heart.
Sunshine, right?
It was one of the portable RPGs. Oh, it was the Paper Mario Sticker crossover Star, with... No, the one after that. What was that called? Well, anyway, we don't need to be doing this.
No.
But I'm just sitting there like... And a lot of people were unhappy with that, and they went on to enjoy the game. But I was trying to reflect my opinion on why I thought it wasn't fun.
Speaking of your opinion, Jared Petty.
Uh-oh.
Harry J writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, this is a question for Jared and his incredible ability to recommend games. My stepfather is a big gamer. His favorite games are any of the Zelda games, and he also has a deep love for Gauntlet, parentheses, starting from the original arcade cabinet. He has beaten Breath of the Wild and absolutely loved it, but now he hasn't played his Switch at all in the months since because he can't find games he think would that he would like on the eShop. Are there any games that you would recommend to someone with a taste for those type of adventure games? Anything we could play co-op would be a plus, but not necessary. Thanks. You guys are really awesome. Please get consent from that chicken.
Oh, the first place that I go with that is if you've got four people around, especially, and you want to play co-op and you want to play with friends, Crawl. Crawl is, if he likes Gauntlet, there's a very good chance he's going to enjoy multiplayer Crawl. Crawl by itself is not all that great an experience. It's really more practice.
What is Crawl? I don't know what Crawl is.
Crawl is a neat little independent game that started out on Steam and eventually got ported to Switch, where it's absolutely perfect because it has a simple interface. It's the kind of thing you play on four Joy-Cons really well around a big TV. So in Crawl, one guy is exploring the dungeon and three other players are controlling the monsters. Constantly. And when those monsters die, the little ghost of that other player starts flying around, right?
Okay.
So the other player comes flying in and possesses something. You can like hurl bookshelves at them or become a snake. The only way to become the player moving through the dungeon and getting treasure is to kill the player.
Gotcha.
But the moment you kill the player becomes a ghost too, and everybody's... So it's three people teaming up on one, but your loyalties are constantly changing.
If you don't mind, I'm going to also bring into the fray right now number one video game journalist Andy Cortez on the Shock Mic.
Oh, look at that. What's up, Andy Cortez?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, Crawl. Thank you for bringing it up, Jared. We were supposed to do this for a party mode a while back, but it was one of those games where... It has steep enough of a learning curve
that we couldn't just jump in like morons.
Yeah, we couldn't just hop in as if it were like Smash Bros. Or Nidhogg or whatever. But
gotcha.
It is one that I definitely want to do because it's really fun. I haven't played with anybody though, Jared. I've only played me against the CPU.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting, and like becoming the obstacles and shooting things at the player is a blast. And like you just become a book and just fly at the dude's head, and if you hit him, like great job or whatever, right? I think it would be perfect for party mode. We need to do it for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's very obviously inspired by Gauntlet. It's got that spirit of that, and that's why I think that he might want to go there. Another one, a very interesting little game. Not perfect, but really that kind of, it's just got so much darn charm, is Songbringer.
Oh, yeah, you've been talking about Songbringer for a while.
Songbringer is very evocative in some ways of Link to the Past. It is certainly drawing some inspiration from that, down to like you can enter Zelda and you suddenly have a little Link outfit.
Yeah.
But it's this artistically interesting, exploratory, pseudo random random level generated game. And if you enjoyed Link to the Past, that's another good one to check out too. So those are two off the top of my head.
Perfect.
That library is really large, and I'll dig through and look for some more recommendations for you as well, Harry. Thanks.
Hyperlight Drifter comes in.
What's that?
Hyperlight Drifter coming in.
Oh, Hyperlight Drifter is really good. Yeah. It's true. And I always like to shout out Blaster Master Zero.
That's
another. That was practically a launch title on Switch.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
it's exploratory 2D / top down, but it feels like a great old NES game, except they took all the crap out.
Nobody likes crap.
Yeah, that's Blaster Master Zero is way better. Also co-op, and the co-op mode looks really simple. The second player is just a gun sight until you figure out and do the reading, read the manual, figure out that you have the ability to drop power ups as the gun sight, and so your Blaster Master's hardest problem is getting depowered when you get hit. With the second player, you're overcoming that obstacle constantly. So it's a great two-player game.
Awesome. Final question of the day is Inside Baseball. It's from Josh. He writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGDA and says, I've been a Rooster Teeth First member for several months now, and I was wondering whether any part of that support gets to you guys. I know you're part of the Let's Play family, and your storefront is hosted on Rooster Teeth's website, but your content isn't available on the website, and the perks you guys have that I would normally associate with being a Rooster Teeth First member, early shows, exclusive content, are unlocked with your Patreon instead. I guess I'm still confused about your relationship with Rooster Teeth, and I want to make sure I'm supporting you guys and the content I've come to love. Well, thank you, Josh, for coming to love us. No, your RT First money does not get to us at all. IGN. Kind of funny. Kind of funny is independently owned and operated. So what basically the relationship for us with Rooster Teeth is, for lack of a better term, is that they're our MCN, which means multi-channel network, meaning that we get to benefit from a whole bunch of different Rooster Teeth things, such as their sales team. The Brooklyn and ad we read earlier, right? That's something they brought to us and we're like, would you like to do this ad program, I guess you'd call them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is nominated Tim's World. And we're like, yeah, sure. That sounds great. They seem great. And so they sell that ad for us. Now, that doesn't stop us from bringing in our own deals, right? You know how I'm hosting the Rocket League thing next week, the third birthday party down at Petco Park. That's something we brought in that then Rooster Teeth doesn't have to deal with at all.
So like they find you a sponsor, they take a cut. You get a cut.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But if we bring in our own thing, it's a different ball of wax. Okay. It isn't that way. And so, no, they don't own us. They help with ads for us, and they do the t-shirt shop stuff for us, right? And that's the bigger thing of how that works. Our Patreon is our Patreon. If you want to support us with dollars, that's how you have to do it. RT First only benefits RT properties or whatever, because they don't. Rooster Teeth never just cuts us a check. It's like, yeah. Here you go. Cut us a check for the ads or the merch, but not for content.
So you're partnering more than anything.
We're partnered. Yeah. It's a partnership. Yeah, okay. Nobody, they don't own us, and I'll be fucking dead in the ground before I let Bernie Burns ever put a finger on me. You know what I mean?
That was
I'm just kidding, Bernie. Put the fingers wherever you want.
That escalated quickly.
Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a good time. Today, Evan needs help on PlayStation 4. His PSN name is Drep Play or Drep Play, DREPPLAY. Drep Play says, hey, Greg, I'm looking for people to join a community I moderate on PlayStation 4 called Kinda Funny Squad Up Fortnite. It is, as the name implies, a community focused on finding groups to play with in Fortnite. We're a small group of less than 100 members, but we're looking to grow the community at the dawn of Season 5. To find us, just search the communities on PSN for Kinda Funny, and we'll be listed as one of the top 13 communities, including that name. Dre P. Play, parentheses Evan. If you want to play Fortnite with all the best friends, go out. Find the Kinda Funny Squad Up Fortnite community. Then, a squad up success story. Anderson writes in, you might remember him from earlier in the week, writes in and says, just wanted to give the community a giant compliment. I was the squad up for yesterday, asking for help in XCOM 2, and here I am today with so many friend requests and a brand new trophy. Didn't know it would work so well, but it makes me happy that everyone was willing to help. Keep fisting that chicken. Love you all.
What? Stop with the chicken.
Reddit wasn't happy with you trying to put an end to the chicken yesterday. You know what I mean? It's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. This is where we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe.
Oh, speaking of around the globe, by the way, yeah. I did one of the JPL folks.
Oh, right.
Best
I saw
friends
that.
Got back with us. So Molly said she'll do what she can to get us into space.
Just let us know when we're up there, Molly. That's all right. We need to know. So Quinn reports, I just did the following. This is about Fortnite. I unlinked my PlayStation account from my Epic account. I unlinked my Nintendo account from my second Epic account. I connected my Nintendo account to my first Epic account. Okay. But I also, so he's saying that it would work, but that would also delete all your PlayStation, or not all your features and accounts and stuff unlocked to that first PlayStation account would be deleted, I think.
That sounds like instructions for building a bomb in a Lethal Weapon movie.
Don't jump in there.
The green wire, the blue wire, the red wire.
Ignacio Rojas says it is Dragon Ball FighterZ, not FighterZ. If you're going to insist on calling that, then I'm going to keep correcting you. Okay.
Cool. Fighters.
Why do they capitalize the Z then?
Why put a Z at the end of anything? It's like putting an X at the beginning of Extreme instead of an E. It's just not never.
Kebab
okay.
says release date edition Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is already out for those west of the Dateline and in Friday, such as Japan, Australia, and India. Well, that's Friday, so that's not today. So you can go to hell, Kebabs.
Again, that escalated quickly.
You know what? Somebody's got to get it.
You know, my grandfather crossed the international dateline on his birthday and didn't get a birthday that year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
You know, weird.
APT4893 says, Jared, it was Paper Jam 3DS that you gave a bad review to.
Yeah. It was a good review of a bad
game.
Sure,
a bad review.
It was an excellent review of a not very good game. Superb. One of my finest works. Completely not true, actually. I hate writing negative reviews. I really do. I don't enjoy it. But you gotta tell people if the game's not so good.
A lot of people just editorializing.
Now again, editorializing?
Oh, Kyle literally says Blossom Tales would be another Zelda-like recommendation.
Oh,
Switch.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
That's an excellent recommendation. Songbreaker's neat, but Blossom Tales is a really cool game. That's very, 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 very Zelda-inspired. Mana's not on Switch yet, is it?
Secret of?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but that's not my repertoire.
Okay.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen on podcast services around the globe. If you can't get enough of us talking about video games, including Octopath Traveler, we are recording the Kind of Funny Games cast live 3 p.m. That's an hour and a half from now. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can check it out there. Check it out on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames tomorrow, or wait for it to be free the following Monday, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We'll be back tomorrow with the one and only Andrea Renee and begin really shoving the Comic-Con schedule down your throat.
Andrea Renee, you say?
I do.
I like that nice lady. I ran into her husband at a baseball game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw him there.
He was at a Giants game. Just bumped into him.
Huh, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Cubs were in town, right?
Cubs were in town.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Yep, Cubs won. Giants, honestly, lot of errors that game. I mean, only one recorded error, but really a lot of bad
throws.
How
was Hunter Pence, though?
Actually, Hunter, pretty good night.
All right, good. Yeah. That's all we care about here.
Yeah.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.